I apologize for being late. I'm here now.
We'll allow it. Just this once, though, Tim.
I was on a telephone call trying to explain mask orders. I thought it was simple enough, but I guess not.
Yeah, like you don't have to wear it. It's not complicated.
All right. Everybody have a nice hot day yesterday?
It was so flipping hot. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was, I went for a bike ride up towards Sheriff's Reservoir last night about 4 o'clock. And at the bottom of the road there where I usually start, it was 84 degrees up there in the woods. It was hot.
We were up at Sheriff's on Saturday. I always forget how great it is up there. There's not that many people and it's just so nice.
And you've got 3 different trails you can hike.
Yeah, we did a little hiking and then some fishing and just spent the day out there. But then we were so disappointed because we were going to stop at Lupita's for dinner and we forgot that they're only open till 3.
Bummer.
That was a bummer.
Well, life is hard, Beth.
I know, Jim.
All right, let's go ahead and get started. Mark, update?
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, commissioners. Good morning. I sent out yesterday afternoon a brief overview of the items that I wanted to touch base on today. And really, quite frankly, there are items that we continue to visit about on an ongoing basis. But I just wanted to underscore and emphasize, perhaps most importantly, that our number one priority right now for many of us, that includes certainly the folks in public health and also in human resources, and certainly my office, is to make sure that we get staffed up correctly in the public health department. Roberta, I visited with Roberta late last week. She's identified 3 individuals that she feels are highly qualified to interview for the epidemiologist position. Beth, we'll be getting you those names and those resumes probably before the morning is out. And then we're going to try and work with schedules to make sure we've got the interview team lined up this week and get that done as soon as we can this week with those people involved in the interview panel. I mentioned the fact, Tim, that we also have an advertisement out for the public health nurse. We continue to receive applications for that position. Roberta has identified some other avenues and some other venues that we were not aware of that has allowed us to expand that search. So we're very aggressively out there right now within the market, doing our best to try and recruit for that particular position. We have 7 contact tracers right now hired and on board and working. We wanna have 2 more to fill out that 9-person roster. But I know that in our recovery call this morning that Roberta made mention of the fact of her utilization of the contact tracers, which is good to know that they're in the queue and they're working for us and helping out. We also, with the help of both Mo and Scott Kalman, we've been deploying the 7 people from the city of Steamboat Springs that have agreed to assist us with both our testing activities and also our education compliance and monitoring. They're given a brief introduction, a brief overview, some training, and then put in the field. And the good news, as we've mentioned before, is the fact that they're available to us 7 days a week. So we've got some flexibility as far as that schedule is concerned. The last thing that I will mention is, and really quite frankly, what I think is very positive news, and you've maybe if you, anybody listens in on the recovery calls, you can hear her name mentioned, but we've started to make much better, I think, use of Estella, our administrative assistant in public health. And we've gotten her a little more help in terms of systems, in terms of walking her through just exactly some training on some of the systems we have. I'm not sure if that was fully deployed in the past, but I know Roberta's making great use of her and is really relying on her for some very important functions and some very important duties. So that's the status of where we are now. I will come back also and mention that health educators are also within the queue for us, but we truly want to see how things work out with the individuals from the city of Steamboat Springs, maybe before we go into full mode in terms of hiring those individuals. And with that, Tim, I'll hold up and see if there's any questions from the commissioners. Okay. Then I'll move on. I'm going to move quickly this morning because
I do have a question. I was slow on my mute button. Just really quickly. So I know the public health director position closes today, and I know we were going to at least review the resumes that we received, et cetera. Do you have a update on the plan for that, or should we just wait until after it closes?
I will provide an update on that, Beth. Good point. Kathy was in HR, was out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on a well-deserved vacation break. I'm due to touch base with her today, probably as soon as we finish up our meeting this morning, and I'll find out just exactly what our timeline is on that, including how many applications we've received to date, and then our process going forward. But I will certainly update the commissioners as far as that the status of the director position full-time, you bet.
Okay, and then do we have a sense of how many hours each of those contact tracers are working?
Beth, good question. We don't, and I'll ask that question to find out. Okay. I know we had a tentative idea where we thought it would probably work out, but of course, you know, once we get on the ground and we start doing it, we can have a much better handle in terms of the hours. So let me get that information back. That's probably something that Estella can help us with, in fact.
Yeah, it'd be nice to know. And then I think generally I just keep having this idea that if we don't need them for all of those hours, are there other things that they could be doing? I have no idea, but just a thought. I know they're paid hourly. And then I assume the only reason I ask this question is because someone mentioned to me that they applied for a health educator position. I assume we've been communicating with those applicants about what's going on, right? They're not just hanging out there.
You bet. Absolutely. Okay. And just keeping them posted in terms of where things stand in terms of those, the recruitment efforts and just exactly what our plans are going to be going forward. You bet.
Okay. That's it. Thank you very much.
So the other thing that I want to touch base on, and we mentioned this ever so briefly last week, is we have another field trip planned for tomorrow afternoon, where we're going to pretty much have the same folks that went to look at another facility that we would like to potentially utilize for space for our public health department. Thanks to a good hot tip from Roberta and then a good heads up from Tim, we've identified a building that we think actually may work the best out of all the facilities that we've examined so far. I will slide by today to take a look. As Tim mentioned, I could walk in. There's not any restriction as far as getting inside the building itself. Roberta actually lives right around the corner from it. But we want to take a good close look at this because we think it may meet a lot of the clinical standards that we're looking at for the facility going forward. I know that was a concern that Roberta expressed about the other facility. So given the fact that this has been constructed as a medical facility or office facility, it has some of the attributes that I think might be a little bit more positive for us going forward. I believe, Tim, you can correct me, but it's approximately 2,400 square feet, 1,200 square feet on the first level and 2,400, and then 1,200 on the second level. And I biked by it over the weekend and took a look, and I can see how the way that parking lot is tiered, how that there's separate entrances for both areas, and that would be conducive for our space allocation as well. Tim, I don't know if you have anything else to add. I know you're familiar with the building and the owner.
Well, just like anything else, at first blush and at first look, it looks good to the non-professionals, but I think a lot will depend upon the meeting that we have tomorrow afternoon to see if it'll really work. So trying not to get my hopes up too much. It is what it is.
Beth, keeping our fingers crossed.
I thought that you were going to send us some information, just where it is and what it is.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
Maybe even the assessor's schedule number so we can pull it up on the assessor's page and see pictures of it and the rest.
Okay.
Beth, I know you had asked last week about the status of the public health grants. And of course, we're all aware of the transition that we made back in June from Northwest Colorado Health to Routt County in terms of many of those grants. As a quick review, you may also recall that we were told by CDPHE that the transfer was fine and they were perfectly okay with making that transition. They simply made a few notes and a few caveats, added a few notes and caveats. One was, if those grants had been competitively bid, that they had to run through that cycle and retain with Northwest Colorado Health before the transfer was made. Also, if a bid ran into the current fiscal year, i.e. October, then CDPHE also wanted it to be able to run through that cycle, and then it would it be eligible for the transfer over to Routt County. So one of the things that Roberta, amongst many things on her plate, and Estella again is helping with this, is to get pinned down a little bit more information on each and every one of those grants. And I know that one of the ones that we wondered about in particular was not only that there was a grant, I believe it was the tobacco grant, that maybe was going to be shared between Routt County and Moffitt County. We wanted to make sure that that got rectified, and just be able to go ahead and get the matrix solidified in terms of where we stood on that. So that's going to be a activity that we're undertaking this week. And Beth, we'll keep you posted on that. I know that you've offered your assistance with your contacts at CDPHE. We appreciate that, and we'll let you know if we need to go ahead and take advantage of those contacts.
Yeah, I'd recommend getting it done before they leave. You never know with CDPHE.
That's true.
It seems like that's whoever true. We talk to quits. I did get an email this morning from Mara, who's the Jill's chief of staff at CDPHE, who's been the one I've been communicating with recently. She is connecting me with the directors of the Preventative Services Division, those are the grants that we were not able to take over because they were competitive. And again, like I told you guys last week, I'm not thinking that we are for sure gonna try to take those over, but I think having the conversation about what would the process be, what do we need to know, et cetera, because we were under the impression last year that we were gonna take those over, and then suddenly it was June and we couldn't because they didn't give us the information about how we request those. So I don't know, Mark, if I should just have that chat and just gather the information. Roberta could be there, you could be there, but just whatever is most efficient use of everyone's time. I think we're trying to schedule a time to talk either this week or next week. And then I'm thinking, honestly, we would probably want to include Northwest Colorado Health in some of these conversations. I'm feeling a little uncomfortable with the way we've gone about our interaction with them. And since we have a whole year, I think it makes sense to talk with them about what makes sense for them to do, what makes sense for us to do, and just really involve them a little more in the conversation rather than trying to just take these out from under them, which I think was sort of what was happening before.
You bet. Beth, could I make this suggestion? I think that it would be a great idea to have several of us on that phone call and in that conversation. So if we could, let's maybe ask Deanna and Kendra to help us set that up. And if I understand, Mara is the person that's the Jill's chief of staff, is that correct?
Yeah, Mara, M-A-R-A.
M-A-R-A, got it.
I'll just, I'll go ahead and respond, and I'll include you and Roberta, and then say, you know, ask Deanna or Kendra to go ahead and help us schedule a time that works for everyone.
That sounds terrific.
Okay.
You bet. Great. The other thing, Tim, I want to mention is that we have a call coming up next week, which is that well, I'll call it a monthly update that we do with our municipal partners on the CARES Act funding. We had all agreed that it would be worthwhile for us to check in once a month, see how we're doing. We invite Greg Winkler from DOLA to be a part of the call. And there's a lot of good questions that are asked, a lot of good information that's shared. And we've just got another one of those. It's coming up next Wednesday. And just a reminder, Tim, on your schedule, if you're available. If you're not, I can certainly handle the load on that and report back. But I think, as was the case last month, it was very beneficial to check in with everybody, see how we're doing. And then as a reminder that we will have a deadline in September in which we will examine where everybody stands, and we may need to have some discussions about reallocation if we don't feel like those other partners are necessarily going to expend the dollars that were allocated to them under the CARES Act funding. The only mention on that I put in my note is that Dan and I spent well over an hour on Friday just walking back through the same matrix that he shared with the commissioners last week. Just once again, to make sure that we're tracking where we need to, understanding when different expenditure items come up, where they're gonna fit, and making sure that we're trending where we need to. I'm very comfortable that I think Dan and the accounting department has done a really good job in assigning where we're going to use the various grants, i.e. FEMA, CARES, DOLA grant, CARES, CDPHE grant, where those fall within those particular silos. And I think we're shipshape as far as that's concerned in anticipating where things are gonna go. The other budgetary note I was gonna offer commissioners is that we are, of course, with the assistance of department heads, we're building right now at a draft level the FY21 budget. We have a meeting scheduled for August 13th, which will be a general meeting of all the department heads, in which we'll have all of the information that will then be tabulated at that point. And then we'll talk a little bit more about where we think revenues are, and talk also a little bit more about where we think we need to land in terms of the budget adjustment based on our revenue picture. We will also have at our disposal June sales tax numbers. And I think those are going to be really important, because that's when things really started to ramp up in Routt County in terms of activity levels. We saw a lot more people in our community, and I think a lot more spending going on. So it's going to be really interesting to see where that lands. And I think that that will be a harbinger of where we feel like our revenues are going to track for the balance of the year, and even into fiscal year 21. So with that, I'll hold up and see if there's any questions from the commissioners.
Nope.
Lastly, Tim also mentioned last week, but we have a meeting this week with Mountain Architecture. And in that meeting, what we wanna talk about is before they appear before the commissioners on August 13th, that's their next scheduled time frame to return to the commissioners, we wanna talk a little bit more about that footprint and how we can accommodate more space for public health going forward. As we anticipate what that level of staffing is going to be now and into the future, I think that we need to go ahead and be sure that we've got some flex space available to us moving forward. And we just want to make sure that the conceptual plans are going to accommodate that going forward. So we'll have that pre-meeting. And then, of course, you have a very good detailed conversation with Mountain Architecture and the design team on the 13th. And I think that's all that I wanted to cover at this point, Tim. Happy to answer any questions for everybody. As I mentioned, Kathy was out of town Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But once we get a chance to visit today, there are several personnel items that I'll take care of that have been kind of in the queue. As always, for the last couple of weeks. And that's all I have right now, Tim.
So to support Doug's previous comments, without getting too hung up on the specific uses of space inside of the new building, it's just a question of maximizing the total amount of square footage that we can get on that site. You know, obviously depending upon cost, but I'd hate to see them get bogged down in some deep analysis of exact public health needs but, you know, focusing on that concept of flex space that could be used for any number of activities out into the future. And frankly, I'm not uncomfortable with the concept that we might have when we got everybody moved in for our current needs, that there's still 1,000 square feet or something left over that has no use for now, knowing that it will someday.
Tim, I think you, all the commissioners can guarantee that if you had 1,000 feet left over, that a couple of years from now, that would be filled up to the brim.
Yeah,
it's the nature of our organizations and just the use of space. So I think that's a wise move. While you're doing the project, everybody's mobilized. You have the funding to support that to be able to maximize what your resources are.
I don't have any other questions or comments for Mark right now. Thank you for the update. Appreciate your diligence in providing that to us.
Tim, there is one other item. I apologize, but I did send out a note yesterday to have HR send the exit surveys that was requested, and you should be getting those today. Per that that discussion we had on Friday. So they'll be in your email boxes this probably before the morning's out.
Sounds good. Yeah, I didn't have anything either, Mark. Thank you. Yep.
All right. Because I'm moving so efficiently here this morning, we're a little bit ahead of schedule, but I can't think of any reason why we couldn't proceed with Eric's update right now. Eric?
Hello.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Great.
So I don't have a whole lot either. So if Kendra or Deanna is on the line, maybe they would want to call Julie for her 11 o'clock and let her know that you might be ready here in a few minutes.
It's a good idea. I like that.
Okay, so all I really have is we have an updated disaster declaration, I think, on the agenda for tomorrow. I apologize. I'm having trouble pulling up agendas for some reason. But I don't think really I have anything to tell you other than it's just another round of renewing for an additional 30 days. The question may come up, why not do 60 days like we recently did with the Public Health Order 03? I think we're just relying on consistency with other municipalities and counties and the state, quite frankly, and just renewing these every 30 days, making sure we do the due diligence of whether or not the declaration needs to be in effect. Of course, it could be rescinded, but I'm gonna suggest that we maintain the 30-day renewal system or process for this particular declaration, just for the sake of consistency, if nothing else.
Just for the sake of optimism, Eric, there you go.
What is that optimism? I don't know what that is. When people ask me if my glass is half full, I tell them I don't own a glass.
We certainly don't want an optimistic attorney. That is of no use to us.
Well, I'm your man. Just in time for my performance review, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I should have a self-evaluation to you, Doug, by the end of today. You should have received from Sue the 360 review forms that were sent in. We tried SurveyMonkey this year to try to, I don't know, walk into the 2020s, but it didn't work perfect for us. We'll try to tweak it and continue to use it, but what you received should have been everything that we've received from the various department heads that did a 360. And your agenda, I was able to pull it up for tomorrow. We have our weekly county policy discussion. You should have received the river trespass policy. Again, that might be one that doesn't continue to be a policy going forward, but maybe something else or some or not at all. And then a bulletin board policy. Sue went ahead and converted that to our new format, assuming that that one would be maintained and continued going forward. And then again, you have the resolution continuing the disaster declaration. I'm sorry, I'm reviewing your own agenda. It's really for my own benefit, but I want to make sure that we're tight for tomorrow. And then you have the executive session for my evaluation. That's the one that I will not be in attendance. That's for the three of you to talk about sort of the groundwork on it. And then once you all have together and Doug, you've drafted a draft evaluation, then we'll go ahead and schedule me for a similar session to actually do the review.
So Kendra, are you on as well? So
Doug, Kendra's yep. out today. So Deanna
no,
is.
I'm on.
Oh, you are. I'm sorry.
Okay, well that's fine. So I could
have said this morning.
Okay, could you send the three of us the blank performance review thing that's in the shared files? Send a copy of that to all three of us so that we can look at it before we have our executive session tomorrow and kind of answer it in our minds. And then I will keep track of it and keep the comments written down. So if you could send the shared files, and if you could pull it up and share send it to the three of us, it would be appreciated.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, the last item I wanted to update you on was the discussion with Sheriff Wiggins about Senate Bill 217 and the potential of a letter from the board to the sheriff's office. I've tried to look at what other jurisdictions have done or not done for that matter, and I'm planning on discussing it further with the sheriff tomorrow afternoon, he and the undersheriff. So more to come on that. So it's a non-update, I guess, more than anything. And I do have something I guess I'm not super comfortable talking about in this arena, but you're gonna see that I spent some time on it, very little time, but it was important for me to know about. We had a child in the care of Human Services that needed some emergency treatment. Very alarming to me, at least. I think it went well and the department handled it well and appropriately, but this is just the kind of stuff that scares the hell out of me when it comes to foster care and providing these types of service, which are of course mandated and we don't have a choice in it, but it's a scary business. And I feel for those folks that are directly involved in dealing with it. Kudos to them for the health and safety of those kids. And hopefully Julie's online so you can move on, but I don't have anything else unless you have other questions.
I don't have any questions, Eric. I'm not seeing any questions, Eric. So thank you very much for your update. I see that Julie has been promoted to a panelist. Very good, Julie. Congratulations. So Julie, would you like to unmute yourself and we can move forward with your purchasing item?
All right, is Kevin joining us yet? Here he is.
He got promoted as well.
He got promoted as well?
Yep.
Well, you guys are moving very quickly today.
I think it's frankly part of conducting daily meetings. We don't have items hanging out there waiting until Monday and Tuesday. They're just getting taken care of during the week.
Very efficient.
Well, I'm not sure it's the most efficient way, but it's certainly making our meetings a little bit shorter, which is good because, as it turns out, as commissioners, we have other things that we do that actually take up the other part of our day.
Yep. Okay, so Kevin and I are here to request the Board of County Commissioners approve the purchase of 133 terminal seats for the Newgate at YVRA and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order in the amount of $79,251.75. The current budgeted amount for fixtures and furniture and equipment is at $50,000 for the terminal expansion project, but we've checked with accounting and we're not going to do individual resolutions through the year as we purchase these things and do one all-inclusive supplemental resolution in December of 2020. So originally the general contractor for the expansion project, FCI, was asked or tasked to purchase the seating, and Kevin has taken it back on after they've done their competitive bid process and did receive three bids. We chose to go ahead and purchase this through his department. The seating matches our existing seats as to quality and design, and we'll be able to move them around as needed in the terminal. So it's a known manufacturer, it's a known product, and that's why we selected this, not only because they were the low bidder, but because it is something that we are familiar with. Any questions?
I guess my only question would be for Kevin. So Kevin, was the FF and E originally supposed to be part of the general contract?
It was, yeah.
And so it was simply taken out of the general contract, a deduction change order to the contract with FCI?
Correct, yeah. And they had the opportunity to probably charge us for some of their time, because they did go out and solicit bids and they did some legwork, but they're not going to do that. It got down to the point where overall funding, AIP funding, was not going to cover the FF&E. And so this part is either a supplemental or CARES Act money. And I was getting nervous that we had a general contractor that doesn't know much about airport seating, trying to be a middleman. And it just was getting clunky and time was passing and things weren't happening. So combination of those led me to pull this back in under our purchasing and get the thing rolling, so we just can't afford not to have the seats when we open that gate in December. So, and we're talking about 8 to 10 weeks on with the vendor that we chose, and it was 10 to 12 weeks with the other vendor that we were considering. So
I'm hearing that you are lacking in patience.
I am. So recent purchases of seating, 2018 for JetBlue, we came in right under the wire timing wise, and it was nerve wracking. And I really don't want to go through that again. So I'd like to get this thing out this week. And then with 8 to 10 weeks, even if there's some delays, we should be receiving this seating here well before the season starts.
Any other questions for Julie?
I guess just a quick one for Kevin. Is everything else going all right on the project and the rest?
So. Yeah, it is. We've made some significant progress just in the last week. So we've pretty much completed the majority of the concrete and foundation work. So poured the slab last Friday morning at 5:30 in the morning, got that thing poured. Poured back the slab inside of gates 2 and 3. We're removing podiums and having to rewicker things and changing some walls. And then we've done most of the slab work in the ticketing area. So steel arrives tomorrow and we'll start some vertical stuff. So it'll be a little, it'll look a little more like construction here. It's been a long time working on foundations and digging holes and doing important work. But now we'll start to see some real progress, I think. And they've torn one quarter of the back facade off, which gave them some final information on the structural members that go in there. And so we've had to make some changes there. So there are some additional costs that were hidden behind the facade. They had sampled it, but until we actually took a whole quarter section off, we couldn't see some of the things that were done in the past that are going to mandate new structural members in there. Not a huge cost, but I mean, these are starting to add up. We're pretty much burned through all of our contingency money, and just thankful that we have the funding we do from the CARES Act to finish this thing up.
Great, thank you.
All right, I think I'm ready for a motion.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve the purchase of 133 terminal seats for the new gate at Yampa Valley Regional Airport and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order in the amount of $79,251.75 to Airport Seating Alliance.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much, Kevin. Thank you, Julie. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julie.
See you later.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be back in a minute. Okay, I'm back. I'm a little sore. I haven't spent much time horseback riding this year, but on Saturday I did 6 hours in the saddle, and it was a bit much for me.
That's a pretty steep curve back in.
That was a pretty, you know, I felt pretty good, but the last 2 or 3 miles coming out, I was feeling it in several different places. But it was good. I was glad to do it. All right. COVID-19 work session. My guess is we don't have a whole lot to talk about, but
I have just one question. Wednesday, I was asked by Kara to participate in a webinar that the chamber would like to host for businesses, and it goes 9 to 10. So we're starting at 9:30 with a COVID-19 work session, and then 10 o'clock is Board of Health. So you guys obviously can have your work session without me, or we could move it to the end if you'd prefer. I don't care either way. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, I would be surprised if we had a lot that was of real importance prior to the Board of Health meeting.
Yeah, I'd be fine. Let's do it after the Board of Health meeting or something. So, yeah.
So just start at 10 on Wednesday then?
Yeah, that'd be good. Did you get that, Kendra?
Yana, either one.
Kendra? Deanna?
We got anybody listening to us?
Mark, would you want to make
sure? Sorry, could you guys say that one more time?
Yeah, Deanna, we on Wednesday, we're not going to start at 9:30 with a COVID-19 work session. We're going to move that to after the Board of Health meeting.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
I heard lots of compliments about your town hall, Tim. I didn't watch it, but I heard good things about you and Roberta and...
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think I said anything that was blatantly stupid or inaccurate. Which is, you know, the bar set pretty low. So
go in, but it went well.
Yeah, you know, I think it's good. You know, it's not a gotcha session. We get the questions in advance, which gives us an opportunity to, you know, at least think about what we're going to say before we say it. It serves its purpose of providing information to the public and hopefully good, accurate information. It's always tough to be in a town hall with Dr. Harrington because he sets the bar pretty high for providing information in a coherent, understandable manner, but that's good. And Roberta is obviously a competent professional that's pretty comfortable in those settings.
I don't have anything.
Oh, I was surprised. I was surprised this morning on the recovery call this morning. So we have to have that those masks evaluated, and they have to be. I mean, don't they come certified or what? Man, I'm sitting here going, how stupid is this stuff that we do this? Buy masks and you think that they're supposed to be certified and they're supposed to be, well, you buy them for the purpose that you're buying them for. I don't know. I guess I'm just ignorant sometimes.
Now, it's fit testing. So like N95 specifically, like, you know, this mask, lots of air kind of escapes out the sides, and an N95 is supposed to fit really tight to your face. And so that's all I understand about it, but there's some kind of, they have to test it to make sure. And I don't know what they do if it doesn't fit. I don't know how it works, but there's definitely some process by which N95s have to be fit tested. But Tim, what Roberta shared on the recovery call this morning is if we order a different brand, which apparently we're looking at doing, then you have to do fit testing again, which makes sense. I mean, that a different brand would fit differently, but.
I do recall at the beginning of the event that there was because there was such a shortage of those M95 masks, that there was some reticence about performing fit testing because apparently you have to destroy a mask to do a fit test on an individual.
Yeah, I think they cut a hole in it and there's some kind of way that they're testing how much air is escaping or something. That's sort of my understanding of it. But yeah, Roberta did share that she can do fit testing as long as we have the right equipment to do it.
And I've always wondered how a fit test works on a beard, but oh well.
Well, that and everybody's face is not, I mean, they're kind of like fingerprints, you know, so I would think.
Well, I think that's the whole point. I think that's why you have to do fit testing for people is because everybody's face is a little bit different.
Okay. Well, I learn something new every day, man.
Everything I said is all that I know about it, and I make no guarantees that anything I just said is correct, but that's my understanding.
Robin, your face, speaking of faces, there's one on the screen. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. I have two things for you. I just want to give you an update on the public survey. I have shared it with the realtors, and they're going to give it to the second homeowners. So hopefully we'll get more responses. We're up to almost 500 responses so far. So that's pretty good. I've not even been out for a week. And then I talked to Mark, for those on the recovery call, you heard this before, but I'm trying to figure out ways to have more visibility of our five commitments to containment, especially for tourists. So working with facilities, Ray and his staff, we're actually going to enlarge the postcard and put it on the courthouse lawn and probably figure out how to have it facing Oak Street as well, since there is foot traffic on Oak Street. So just wanted to let you know if you end up, it looks like, Beth, that you're in the office. If anybody comes into town, we're just trying to look for ways to get the message out. And I think I mentioned to you, I have a donor who really wants to pay for a banner as well. So exploring that, but just we continue to put out this information. I'm also talking to Mike Lane about sandwich boards on Lincoln Street and Yappa Street. I went down to Vail over the weekend to visit a friend of mine that just moved from DC, keeping my distance very high. But there are sandwich boards everywhere in the town of Vail and then all over on the trail. So I think that's just another great way for when people are walking to get the information out. So I'm exploring that with Mike Lane to see if there's something that we can do, again, to try to reinforce the messages. We've heard from the chamber that some of the businesses are still struggling with mainly tourists, not residents, that are complaining, you know, that Colorado has a mask order. So the more that we can reinforce it, that's the law, the better. So just wanted to keep you apprised that we're looking for new and other ways in addition to what we've already been doing to reach especially the tourists that don't get our other communications on a regular basis.
Thank you. Well, I feel a little guilty, but I feel like we're not working hard enough today. Is there some controversy we can stir up to? No?
I'm sure we can think of something, but I'm not going to try.
Oh, Eric, there we go. Careful what you wish for, huh?
He wants something to talk about. Beth stopped by the office earlier and we chatted about it a little bit, but something that's been weighing on me over the weekend was, I forget in which context the discussion was taking place. I think it was the board during Mo's update, but I'm not certain now, on Friday. The notion of doing a review, a hindsight review of everything that's occurred since probably February or March, and examining preparation, processes, systems, staffing levels, and everything else that could be improved upon if this if a pandemic like this were experienced in the future. And it's a common concept of emergency preparation. You respond to something and then you do a review of how that response worked. I don't know now's the time to engage in that. I think it's the time to start planning for that and identifying the areas of priority concern that need to be reviewed, who's going to conduct the review, how it's going to involve this commission, et cetera. But it was an interesting conversation, at least for me, and it prompted me to review several articles that I've been saving and not reading about potential for future events like this. So I'm just kind of laying it out there for future thought. I think Mo is probably adept at doing something like this in the context of emergency response. But I think it's really, really important. And we have a lot that I think we can clean up. I'll speak for myself. Our office has a lot that we can do different and better for any future, not just pandemic, but other kinds of events. And I'm imagining countywide, we have the same situation.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from the counties and states and municipalities that got this exactly right. Those are the people I want to hear.
Don't hold your breath.
They must have had a better crystal ball than we had, I guess, so.
Well, it's not, the purpose isn't to be negative about it and go back and start pointing fingers, although that happens sometimes. The purpose is to improve our process to do a better job next time.
No, I agree. I think that's a good thing. And after incident report or analysis, Eric, would be good. I think everybody ought to kind of, you know, maybe put down what, you know, I don't know when we get to do after the event, but anyhow, we're good.
And that's something to start talking about in recovery team or just offline right now.
Well, I think you're right that, you know, Mo would be the natural person to engage in that kind of or lead that kind of a review. I mean, that's standard operating procedure for emergency management to do an after action review. But you're right, it's interesting. When is after? Or is this after action for phase one or phase two or phase three? And because I don't think we want to wait 2 years to start reviewing what we did. And we could be that far away from being out of this. So
I'll bring it up with Mo and see if he's put some thought into it already. I'm sure he has.
Yeah. Well, I actually think the recovery team or whatever that team is a good place to start at it with it too. I mean, it depends and everybody get their input into it as we move forward. I mean, so.
Commissioners, I think there may be an opportunity for us to utilize the resource that we had in the past that's now going to change, and that is the Jim Johnson position. As you may know, we are going to be reassigned an individual, probably another county, that will be responsible for those recovery and follow-up responses. And I think that would be absolutely spot on for that individual to oversee that kind of an effort. And the reason I say that is a lot of times it's we mentioned Mo, it's best if you don't have somebody that's been directly on the front lines that's undertaking the after action report, because you want it to be somebody that's going to just be very independent and facilitate all those conversations with everybody, allowing Mo to freely participate. So let me follow up with CDPHE today. You may recall that's a different silo in terms of where those people operate out of, and see if where we stand on who gets assigned to us. And then if that person is available to undertake that effort, I think that would be ideal in that capacity. Also, in terms of timing, since we now know that the emergency has been extended, the declaration has been extended to October, it may be something that we want to look at that post-declaration. I think it's after October 23rd, and then undertake the after-action reports from there.
All right. Thank you for that, Mark. Anything else before we adjourn for the day?
I just have one quick question. Mark, you have anything else on hiring freezes or anybody else that's coming through or anything?
Doug, not so far today or this week. You heard the update from Kelly in terms of human services. But beyond that, we've got nothing else that is in the queue. If there's any changes to that, we'll let you know. But otherwise, we're standing pretty set in terms of where we are in terms of staffing. And any requests that we have, of course, we'll follow our protocol and our procedure going forward.
Yep, thank you.
Beth, got anything else? All right. Thank you all very much. We will see you tomorrow.
Very good. Thank you.